Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Inside Try Show with Helen Murray.
This is the podcast that takes a deeper look at the sport
with in-depth interviews and special episodes
to keep you entertained and inspired while you're training.
And we're rolling.
Hello and welcome to episode 98 of the Inside Try Show, sponsored by Resilient Nutrition, who make incredible long-range fuel nut butters. I'm Helen Murray, and each week on the Inside Try Show, I bring you awesome interviews from triathlon and beyond. Now, this week's show does have quite an ultra running theme to it. Thanks largely to guest Lucy Bartholomew, but also because I'm going to be doing the Sea to Summit 32-mile, I'm going to call it a run, not a race, in early December. I entered it at the very end of August, I think, when I obviously didn't even spare a thought for running up and down the Welsh mountains in the middle of winter. This kind of petrifies me a little bit. But anyway, that is not the only stupid thing that I seem to have said yes to recently. Cue a little chat I had with Ali McDonald, all-around good guy and the boss over at podcast sponsors resilientnutrition.com. Ali, what message did you send me the other day?
Helen, got a bit of a wacky idea. Do you fancy spending 3 days running around the last remaining wilderness in Europe? To which your answer was?
The answer was, oh, I could be tempted. I'll need to check with Rich. And then I said, Ali, I might be able to convince him. Ali, he has just now sent me a message saying, that looks good, which I think is 90%, yep, we're there.
I think you did a very good job. It took about a day, didn't it?
A day. So what have I said yes to? What have we now said yes to?
So the Highland Ultra is a race, multi-day race, taking place up in Knoydart, and Knoydart's on the west coast of Scotland, just above a little place called Mallaig, and it's a promontory of land that is one of the last wildernesses, certainly in the UK and in Europe. So it's very, very isolated. There are some tracks on there. There's no real roads, and it looks out onto the Hebrides, that whole coastline. And the race is run around that space. And what's interesting about it is it's owned by the people. So it's owned by the crofters and the people that kind of live in that land. And so it's a really unique opportunity to A, get out and do a multi-day race, which is fun in itself, but it's also a really unique environment. And the reason we got attracted to it at Resilient was just that notion of self-reliance, but also its commitment to protecting the environment. So whilst we're competing there. We've got a race there, and we're bringing people to it. The whole planning with the guys at Beyond the Ultimate who run the race, yeah, has taken a long time, because what we want to try and minimize is our footprint. So it's all to do this whole idea of resilient racing, sustainable racing. So yeah, that's what it is. So it's 125 kilometers. You start in a little place called Inverie, which is on the southern side of the peninsula. And I'm not going to tell you much more than that on the route. We can dig into the route and some of the checkpoints and something that's going to go on. But Inverie is where you start and finish. And it's 3 days, 125 kilometers. You can take all of your kit with you. So plenty of time to prepare.
You did say, I think you were trying to say, do you fancy this in October, which would be like 2 weeks away? I was like, no, April maybe. Ali, you just describing it then gives me this a mixture of real like excitement and intrigue, because it's completely different. But at the same time, honestly, makes me feel really, really nervous.
Well, I think what's interesting is, you know, if particularly if you come out of the triathlon space where everything is so precision, you've got three disciplines, you've worked out your timings, you're measuring everything, because there's a lot of knowns. Your likely swim time is going to be. You know how long it transitioned. Yeah, how long your first transition is going to be. And you're constantly looking at the watch. What's my heart rate doing? Am I hitting pace? This is totally different. You don't know what the terrain's going to be like. You have some idea of the how far you've got to go. So divide 125 by three, roughly. So that's a marathon a day or thereabouts. You can have a look on the map. You can have a look on Google Maps and have a look at some of that stuff. You can have a look at some photos and things, but I mean, you're right. It's not as kind of prescribed as say a triathlon. And then I suppose the similarities are it's definitely an endurance challenge. But I think when you don't know that at the end of the day, even an Ironman, whether you're doing it 9 hours or 15 hours, at the end of that you're going to get back home and have a nice warm bath. In this case, you're going to be crawling into a tent having a nice hot chocolate probably.
I think the closest I would have come to doing anything like this in terms of the camping at the end of the day, but even then we didn't actually wild camp, but was probably my goal Duke of Edinburgh, and we were still in a campsite, we could still have a shower and go to the toilet. So this is going to be totally, totally new.
Classic.
Oh, good God. So there you have it. We will be doing a 3-day multi-stage ultra marathon in a very, very remote part of Scotland in April. Wish us luck right now. Do wish us a lot. A hell of a lot of luck. Oh, my God. It's going to be mad. So we will keep you totally across all of our preparation for it, because seriously, we are, I don't want to say completely clueless, but when it comes to multi-stage events and carrying everything that you need to and pooing in a bag or however we're going to have to do that, that is completely and utterly new to me. So we will keep you posted. It's going to be a fun few months, I think. Anyway, resilientnutrition.com's nut butters are called Long Range Fuel, and it does come in jars. They definitely won't be going in my pack, but the pouches very much will be. And you can get 10% off Resilient Nutrition with the code INSIDETRY10. Just head over to insidetryshow.com/links and you'll find the link to the discount there. Big thanks as well to 33fuel.com for sending me a load of energy and protein bars recently. They're really chunky and just full of goodness, like nuts and dried fruit. And while I do love to make my own bars, 33fuel.coms are just perfect for shoving in your bag or your pocket when time isn't on your side, which seems to sum up my life at the moment, and you want some proper good stuff to enjoy.
Time for this week's interview.
Continuing with the ultra running theme then, but very much with a triathlon slant as well. Australian ultra runner Lucy Bartholomew hit the headlines as a teenager, actually, for completing her first ultra marathon when she was 15. Back in 2014, she was crowned World Junior Skyrunning Champion. In 2018, she was third female at the Western States 100. It's hard to believe, actually, that Lucy is still only in her mid-20s. She's had so many podiums in ultra running, and she's an absolute star. But as COVID hit, Lucy decided it was time for a new challenge, and she is now training for her first Ironman as a total newbie to triathlon. Oh, you're going to love this interview. Lucy Bartholomew, welcome to the Inside Tri Show. How are you doing?
Good. I'm all the better for doing my first triathlon podcast. I feel like I've made it.
I love this because I guess you would be in demand on ultra running podcasts, basically, and running podcasts.
I think I've told my running side of my story multiple times, too many times. I'm excited to share a little different stuff.
So go on then. We can then kick off with triathlon, right? So you are super, super well known in the ultra running community. And now you've sort of said, actually, I've entered Ironman Western Australia. I want to do an Ironman.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously everyone's past 2 years have been a bit up in the air. And I kind of, once I realized that racing overseas was off the cards, I obviously was looking for races closer to home. And none of the ultras and the trails, with no disrespect to them, I love them and I've done them all, really like set my heart on fire. And so instead I decided to look at something a little bit different. And Ironman Busselton, Ironman WA came up. And it's something that I've always been curious about. It was something that I thought I would do later on. It was something my dad wanted to do. And I just decided, you know, if not now, when? And, you know, I love swimming. I'm kind of getting around on the bike. I don't mind it. But I kind of am just loving being a newbie again and just dropping the expectations and just having, yeah, I mean, 2021's been a year of, in February, I ran 250 kilometers in one go in 54 hours and then hopefully bookending it with an Ironman in WA.
That is insane. How have you found the training compared to training for ultra running?
Honestly, I think a lot of people think ultra runners are just like super hardcore. You know, if you're running 100 miles, 160 kilometers, you must just run all the time. And I've now realized that it's quite a lazy sport, ultra running. We kind of just go for a run and then we pride ourselves on the fact we went for a run and sit down and eat our body weight in food. What I'm really realizing with Ironman is that you go for that run, but then you have to eat and digest so that you can then go and perform two other activities or one longer activity again. And it's blowing my mind, honestly. It's not, we're just coming into spring and the days are getting longer, which thank God, because I was like between the short days, I was just not fitting it all in. So it's been challenging. I have so much respect for anyone who does all these sports because, yeah, I thought running was a lot. This is a lot more.
Because it is interesting, actually. I think a lot of age groupers who are really into triathlon would then potentially branch out into ultra running rather than the other way around.
Absolutely. And so many people, when I posted that I'd entered, said, I've come the other way and I'm really excited for you to go back in. And, you know, honestly, I can understand when you come from training three disciplines and having to, the thing that like I find challenging is that, you know, when you go for a bike ride, you got to make sure you have your helmets, your cleats, your tires pumped. You got to, you know, something might go wrong on the ride. So you have your toolkit or whatever it's called. Go swimming, you need your goggles, your wetsuit, your cap or something. When I go running, I just put my shoes on and I walk out the door and I am done and an hour goes past and that's a great hour of exercise. On a bike, you know, you sit there for like 4 or 5 hours and you're like, well, you know, good. And then Ironman's like, no, 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 get off the bike, start running. This is how we're going to do this. And I'm just shocked at how the body manages to keep up. I think it's incredible.
So have you come from, like, did you do a lot of swimming like most Aussie kids? Like, are you a pretty decent swimmer?
I love swimming. I definitely, it's something that I've really lent on, is like running so second nature to me that I can text and Instagram at the same time while I'm running trails. But when I'm swimming, it's so meditative. You know, you're underwater. No one can talk to you. No phone is near you. And I love that. I come from doing a lot of surfing, being in the sea. And so I'm super comfortable in the water. It's just a shame that that's such a small part of an Ironman, because if I had to switch the run and cycle and swim, I would.
So, yeah. Okay. So how have you found cycling more and getting on that bike and things like the cleats and stuff?
Oh, absolutely terrifying, to be completely honest. I was super lucky to be given an amazing bike for this experience, which doesn't really look like a bike. Bikes have come a long way since I kind of first got one as a kid. And then to be given cleats with this tri bike where you somehow are meant to be on your elbows just blows my mind. So it's really challenged me. I found the hours of the training definitely eat up a lot of my day. And it's just a very different type of training because, you know, when I'm going a downhill, I'm not pedaling. I'm like sitting there just trying to hold on. And so you kind of, in the hills that I live in, I feel like I'm only working half the time and the other half I'm just stressing and white knuckling it down the hills. So I found that challenging. And then, I mean, the cleating is just, at the moment I pick my routes based on, like, if there's a red light, I'll go left just to get out of that. And if there's a roundabout, I'll just go whatever the car's not doing. And I pick my routes purely based on the unnecessary needing to cleat out. So that's not going so great. My neighbor watched me cleat out and fall off the bike the other day, and he was like, comes out and he goes, you should probably stick to running, Lucy. Like, doesn't look like it's getting any easier.
We've all been there, though. The first couple of times when you do have the, oh no, I forgot to, oh, I'm on the floor.
Well, it's just kind of like you kick one foot out and then I just kind of want to walk off. And I'm like, oh, the other foot, Lucy, the other foot. Like, my left foot is just, I'm so right dominant. You know, when I run upstairs, I'll always push off my right foot, you know, and I know this running and I can compensate for that. But yeah, I just kind of, I always kick out and then just the other foot's just connected to the bike still as I try and walk off.
I'm intrigued to touch as well on the, like, the mental aspect of it all, actually, because I imagine with your running a lot of the time, you would be able to completely switch off and go into another place. Has this almost like taken you, is it using your brain again in a different way that you haven't for a while?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of where the whole idea of this challenge came from, was I think that I was getting too comfortable with running. And I tried to explore maybe going faster or maybe going further. And that was where the 250 kilometer run came from. And after finishing that run, I kind of wasn't like on a high or felt like I'd really achieved anything. I just felt like, wow, okay, cool. I can walk and run for 54 hours nonstop. Great achievement. But what I found with going back to being a novice and back to being super aware and hyper sensitive about everything and kind of learning all these things again is like I get back from a cycle and I am so stoked that I made it back alive. You know, I walk in the house just like hands in the air. Dad puts his phone away because he's had it out the whole time just expecting me to go, the tire's blown, I've been hit, I don't know what to do, like save me. And so it's just like a really nice feeling to drop expectations, because with running I have paces and goals and I know what to expect, whereas now I'm just kind of trying my best with what I've got.
Did you find, like, you're still mid-20s now, do you sometimes feel like you've almost, like, you've achieved so much in running, yet you are still so young, and you're just like, oh my god, I could do this for the rest of my life, but I just want to do some other stuff?
Yeah, totally. And that's, again, wanting to just kind of, I don't want to box myself in, you know, I want to be a strong runner. I want to be a strong female and I want to be a strong athlete. But I don't don't necessarily need to be just Lucy the runner. I want to be able to ride a bike, to climb a wall, to jump into the ocean, and to feel confident that, you know, I can do it. And I think that that's comes from going outside of your comfort zone. I've done a lot in running, and I'm really proud of what I've achieved. And there's definitely more out there. But I also kind of in the last few years where my results in running weren't so good, and I didn't feel so great in myself and where I was going, I realized I needed to switch it up to make it sustainable, to be that strong athlete that I want to be for my life.
In a way, it's a bit like a career break or a sabbatical.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as an Australian, we don't really have like an off season. You race year round, and I would leave the summers here and go to the summers in Europe or the summers in America. And super grateful and privileged to have that kind of lifestyle. But, you know, you do need to have a rest. And I think one of the biggest things for me with training for Ironman is that I have this, you know, mental connection to running 100 miles a week. You know, I'm just relentless. And when I started adding in the riding and the swimming, that number dropped. And it was so interesting to see how I was suddenly like, whoa, hang on, I'm not running enough. But I was, you know, spending 5-6 hours on the bike and 1-3 hours in the pool. And it was just kind of like this association that I needed to maintain this runner's numbers on Strava. And it's been really fun to kind of not to let go of that and to just play around and give my body a break and use different muscles and create new skills.
Yeah, that's the thing, because I guess as well with having done what you've done, but being involved in the, you know, in really high level sport, pretty much, you know, straight out of as a teenager, like 15, you did, you know, your first ultra marathon, and then you've just progressed. And actually, it's probably pretty normal for any human being to go, whoa, hang on a moment.
Yeah. And in 2019, I definitely would say that I outran my love of running. I was doing it and I was performing the motion. I was going for the runs. I was ticking the boxes. I wasn't having great race results, but I was completing them and not doing too badly. But the emotions within me were very kind of like, I've done this. I'm bored of this. I'm not enthused by this. And I've always said, like, the moment I outrun my love of running, I will stop running, or I always want to chase things that set my heart on fire and that I'm super committed to and excited by. And I just was losing that. And so when Busselton and the Ironman came about, it was kind of something that was like, huh, like, I wouldn't care if I came dead last but achieved this, and I don't know if I can do this, and that's really exciting and scary, and all those emotions that I felt when I was 15 doing my first ultra. And so I just kind of wanted to come full circle back to that and remember why I started sport, which was like to explore places myself and to find, you know, what I can do.
And is your dad, will he be doing this with you, or is he training with you as well?
He really wants to do an Ironman. He turns 60 this year in October, and we were meant to run 100Ks for it. He's super fit, but he's not in for the Ironman. He was going to come. He's hopefully going to come across to WA if I can compete. But it's on his bucket list. He thinks that I take all his goals off his bucket list and go and achieve them quickly before him.
But he's been like, you and he are so, so close, aren't you?
Yeah, he's been a massive part. When I ran my first 100K at 15, we ran it side by side for 12 and a half hours. And then it's kind of just been this progression where, you know, he's always been the constant that's just always backed me and put me, like, you know, put me out there and said, you know, come on, Lucy, back yourself. And, you know, when I said that I wanted to do an Ironman, I think he was a bit like, this is great. This is what she needs. She needs to switch it up. And then he was like, when he heard it was in Western Australia, he was like, I'm coming. They've got great beaches. And, you know, I think it's got a little bit more atmosphere Ironman races to hang around in an ultra. You know, he stands in the mountains in the rain waiting for me for 7 hours and then gives me something and I run off. And this time there's a little bit more energy around, so I think he's really looking forward to that side of things, which makes me even more excited about participating, that we can share it together.
Yeah, that's it's the special moments as well, isn't it, that make a massive difference. Generally in life, whatever you're doing, it's those special moments.
Yeah, I mean, the other day I finished a cycle and I went for a run afterwards, and I was running along and there was my dad coming down the hill that I was going up, and I flipped my run and I ran back with him for, you know, 3 or 4 kilometers, and we just had a chat, and it was just like, this is what we did when I was 15 and you were 50, and like, this is 10 years on and here we are. And it was just an incredible moment where it was kind of like, no matter what, we can always come back to this. And it was just really cool and really special. And I think that me kind of getting on the bike and getting swimming and then, you know, going for these runs, a little, like being fatigued, it kind of makes us even closer. And we can cycle together and our abilities. He's a much stronger cyclist in the downhills than I, and he's got stuff he can teach me again, which I think he really loves. And it's really brought us closer together, even though we've been in lockdown for 250 days. Like, we're pretty close.
And how has lockdown and the last 18 months like impacted on you, would you say?
It's been really challenging for sure. I think what challenges me the most is seeing the effects on everyone else. You know, when I see people that are out of work or that have a really stress with their kids at home and families not being able to come together, you know, I am a pretty independent person and my mum lives in the UK and my brother in the other side of the world. But I kind of, you know, I feel like it'll turn around, we'll be okay. And I've always got running, and running has always been allowed. There's been restrictions on how far I can go and for how long, but it's something that I've always been able to keep in my life, and I can still do my job of working on social media and writing for magazines and stuff like that. But it's definitely kind of, in Australia, we've been in and out of lockdown. So there's kind of been hope, and then it's been taken away, and there's been maybe I entered something or I booked a flight and then it's been taken away. And I guess as someone who's always kind of just gone with the wind and been really kind of blasé about things and just floated by and done it pretty successfully, to kind of have those balloons popped and those motivation deflated again, it's really made me have to come back to that why of running and why of exercise and why I move my body, and just switch that focus from, you're not training for anything now, Lucy, you're training to just like to be the best version of yourself. And that's, you're being your best version of yourself so that you can help others, be that through social media, be that through someone that they can talk to. So it's been challenging, but it's, you know, I would say for me, it was a blessing in disguise to come back to that place and just, reevaluate and realize what's important. Cause I think we're all going to come out of this with like a whole lot of gratitude for any start line, any finish line, any, long day that we maybe didn't think about. We'll be like, well, at least we get to be outside doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. And you said that like, things had become pretty like relentless as well, and I know there were some mental struggles too. Can you talk us through some of that kind of period for you?
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, it's really challenging. Like for me, I think because I spend so much time on social media, you see the other side of the world opening up, and then you see yourself closing down. You see races going ahead that I was meant to be at, and then no longer being at, and then committing to an Ironman, and then having this like, oh, I can't wait to get stuck in, and then pools are closed, and then, okay, well, I'll ride my bike and I'll get a wind trainer so I can do it in my garage, and they're all sold out, they're just unheard of to get one. And it's just kind of this, you know, okay, well, I'll just keep running. And so my life really didn't change all that much, but I had this, you know, I'd put it out there and people were kind of coming to me and saying, how's it going, is it going well? And I'm like, well, not really. I mean, I'm like, I'm okay. I'm getting through this. I'm doing something every day to help my future self with this goal. But then, you know, like at the moment where we stand is, I don't know if I'll be able to get to the start line of the race. And that's really challenging. We found out yesterday kind of what that looks like. And it's just, you just don't know. It's really confusing. And I think just like that ebb and flow of motivation and, you know, I'm set on a goal. I'm not, this goal isn't going to happen. This is going to be something that I can do. Maybe it's not. It's just exhausting and relentless, like you say.
So how are you dealing with that?
I think, like I said, I'm just kind of every day doing something that helps me tomorrow. You know, it might be even if I get on the bike and do a block and just kind of spend some time on it and get used to those cleats that I was saying cause me so much stress. Or maybe it's going for a run off the bike and just feeling those jelly legs and being like, okay, this is like, I feel like I'm doing something that's very Ironman specific. And some days it's like, let's just recess back to running because it's what I know, it's what I'm comfortable with, and it feels really good to just feel like this is something I can control. Without the swimming and without, yeah, being able to kind of go for long rides and go wherever I want and run trails that I love. It's definitely challenging, but I would say that it's just kind of become our normal now, and it's just kind of navigating that every day. And my dad and I work together to kind of say, you know, every night we say to each other, what are three things you want to achieve tomorrow? And like, it's always walk the dog, go for a run. And I'm lucky because I can go ride a bike. But it's kind of, you know, we keep each other accountable. We focus on what we can control, which is, you know, your effort and your attitude. And so I just try to be relentlessly positive and then always giving my best effort to whatever I am doing, if that's run or cycle or lay in bed all day.
Okay, laying in bed all day, does that ever happen, Lucy?
Oh, absolutely, especially in this winter, really? In this lockdown. Yeah, I'm not a bad rester. I think this is a misconception about me or about ultra runners is that, you know, like we just all the time just want to run. I'm like not like that. You know, I love running and I love the feeling of being out there. I especially love the feeling of being done. But, you know, I have that moment of like, do I really want to do this? And we got a puppy and my puppy sits and then she looks up at me in the morning and she's like, I don't think you want to do this today. Like, I'm good. You're good. Let's not ruin this. And I think that in lockdown without these kind of goals and pressure and expectations and need to be like ready in quotation marks, I just have decided that I would just, you know, respect that feeling and kind of, move forward with some more rest, and I'm loving it. Feel good for it.
Did you find it very difficult to, because you know you do have a big social media following and all that, did you find that it had become almost like all-encompassing and like a ridiculous amount of pressure, whether that had become pressure that you would almost put on yourself?
Yeah, definitely. Social media is something that can really hinder your you know, how you perceive yourself, how you expect your goals. And I think for me, when I put out, especially about the Ironman, was that everyone thought I was changing sports. And I was like, no, let's make this very clear. I'm doing this Ironman. I'm ticking that goal off my bucket list. It may be the only one I do. I may enjoy it and come back. Many have said that I will do one and then know that I want to do another one. But I was like, I am not going into this to win it. I just want to complete it. I'm just like a newbie to the sport. And just because of my history and my resume in running doesn't translate across. And it's unfair on people to give me that expectation and to put that pressure on me. And I feel in a really good space about that, especially because as I've gone through this process, and I haven't done it completely because I can't cycle as far as I like or run or swim, I've definitely, all I have is respect for people that put themselves out there, you know, moms and dads and with kids, with jobs that sign up for these events. Like, I'm a full-time athlete and I'm like, where does the time go? Like, when do you shower? Like, this is my biggest question is like, do you get clean at any point? Like, I can't fathom it. So all I have is respect. And I'm like, I'll be happy to finish anywhere amongst these people that sign up for it, because I just think that we're all incredibly amazing that we're even attempting this, especially in a year like this.
So, right, as an ultra runner, would you have, what, would it be one, potentially two showers a day, or just one run, shower, done?
You know, well, in winter, I would definitely probably err on the side of two, just to stay warm and be clean. But like on Sunday, I went for a long run and then I had a shower and I like blow dried my hair dry so it wasn't so cold on my head. And I was just like, I don't think I've been this clean and this dry in about 4 weeks. And my dad was like, you look different. I was like, yeah, I'm clean. This is amazing. So I just, yeah. And then once we're adding that cycling back in and those days become double, triples, I'm just like, when do I eat and when do I clean? So imagine if you have to feed the kids and go to work. Like, I don't understand.
You just still look a bit like an athlete at work, like lycra, wet hair, goggle marks. It's part of the look.
Oh, I'm super keen for the tan lines. That's when that comes. I'll know I've made it when I've got the goggles.
Totally. Yeah, the goggle marks, the tan lines. It's part of it. So yeah, you've got plenty to look forward to.
I look forward to it.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So, right, Lucy, a very, very philosophical question. Probably far too philosophical for a Monday evening your time, Monday morning my time. What does running actually mean to you?
Well, dang, we've gone from tan lines to the meaning of running.
Yeah.
Running for me is such a simple way to move my body, a very natural way, for anyone to move their body. You know, for me, it's just such a simple expression. I think that there's something so beautiful about watching a kid run down a hill and just deciding that it was downhill, I'm going to go fast and I'm going to throw my arms around. And I think that running for me is just kind of like holding on to that little kid inside and just kind of running around the dirt and the mud and trying to run fast and then blowing up and sitting down and having to cry, but then getting back up and, you know, every time just going a little bit further. I think for me, running is just, it's a way to explore both the planet, to meet people. And I think if anyone resonates, they go for a run and you can end up telling people your life story and things you'd never tell anyone because you're so vulnerable. And I just think there's such a beauty in being vulnerable in such a raw environment like nature, to people that you don't know. And I think that that's just something I've definitely lacked, you know, in the last 2 years, is because I haven't spoken to barely anybody on a run. And I think that, you know, running brings that out in us. It brings us all back to square one, because running can be really, really hard. It can be really heartbreaking, but it can be so rewarding. And that's the same for everyone, whether you go super fast and you break 2 hours for the marathon, or if you fight cutoffs and don't make it. I think that there's something in it for everyone. And that's what running is to me.
And what would you say your most heartbreaking moment has been as a runner?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I think people would think that it would be like DNFing a race not finishing a race or getting injured or something. But I think my most heartbreaking was finishing one of the world's biggest races in 2019, Western States, and feeling like, I wish I hadn't done that. Like, yeah, I finished. I didn't enjoy it. I didn't want to be there. And I took a spot of, you know, they let 300 in, 8,000 apply. And I just kind of realized then that I didn't love running. I didn't love what I was doing. And it was kind of a pivotal moment for me because I pulled out of every race after that. And I think that that was pretty heartbreaking to take someone else's spot and to have an experience that so many people would be so eager for and almost disrespect the sport and the distance.
And what had happened? Like, why had you got to that point, do you think?
I think for me, you know, I had a steady progression in the sport, starting at 15 in 2012 and then kind of slowly moving up. And I came third at that race, that Western States race in 2018, and I kind of skyrocketed onto people's radars, and my social media following was huge, and people's want to talk to me and the media's want to write about me was huge. And so I kind of went from being like, you know, I went to that race as an Australian, an underdog, like, who's this 21-year-old thinking she can run 100 miles? And I loved it. And I've always reveled in feeling like, oh, cool, like, no one expects anything of me. Like, I'm just going to do my thing. And where that lands me, no one cares, but, like, I'll be proud. And to finish third, you know, I kind of blew my expectation and everyone else's. But what it meant was that moving on from that, it was kind of this, well, if she came third last year, she's going to come second or first this year. And that progression that she's had since 15 is going to continue. But what happened instead was that I kind of started to think, oh, I've got this sport figured out. And I thought, I'm just going to, you know, this fitness that I have, I'm just going to hold on to it. And I wasn't at a sustainable fitness. I was good for that day. And, you know, I'd always told myself, you know, the race is the 24th, the 25th of July or 25th of June, you just chill out. Like, you've got to just stop. But I just didn't stop. I just felt like I had to keep up with the hamster wheel, keep up with these expectations. I had to look a certain way, be a certain way. And it was all just kind of, yeah, it came crashing down because I didn't respect my body or the sport, and lined up the following year and just thought, I'm not in a good place, and you can't be in a bad place racing 100 miles because there's just so many reasons to stop and you're broken down and super vulnerable for many, many hours.
That must have been really hard, even standing on that start line knowing that.
For sure. And I knew it, like, in the days leading up. My family came over and my dad was there the previous year, and he kind of saw me as this, you know, I was described in race reports after it like a golden retriever brought home for the first day. I was like wide-eyed, so excited, just like looking everywhere and running around. And then, you know, I think for him to see me the following year, and I was a bit more like, oh, yeah, okay, like, I'll do the media press conference and I'll be there and I'll do this. And there just wasn't that excitement. And that was the year my brother also joined. And I think he was like, huh, I thought this was like a big deal for her. And so I already felt like I was letting people down before I even started. And, you know, when I started running and wasn't in the lead pack like I had been the previous year, you know, I was letting myself down and I was letting down people who were following along. And the great thing with social media is that people are pretty open about if you're letting them down or if you're doing it wrong or if you've raced, you're not right or you don't look right doing it. And, you know, to finish the race and be in a really bad place and then to kind of log back on and be like, oh, good. Okay. Well, everyone obviously saw, I thought I was putting on a pretty good act, but, you know, everyone seems to be making assumptions about me. And yeah, it's a really hard place to come back from.
And how the hell do you even run 100 miles in that state?
Yeah, I think for me, it's just, you know, I've always been a stubborn person, honestly. I was just, you know, if I start something, I'm committed. You know, if I start this Ironman and I haven't swum a stroke or ridden at all very far, I'll still finish it. I'm happy to, you know, I think there's beauty in being able to suffer, if you want to use that word. But I just kind of, yeah, I was committed. And I felt like even if I don't meet people's expectations, I want to at least, you know, give it my best chance and finish and at least say, well, you know, I got there. I didn't get there how you wanted or the time you wanted or the time I wanted. I didn't have the day I expected or people had written for me. But, you know, I gave it everything I could and I made it to that finish line. And, you know, it's the most heartbreaking moment, but it's probably also one that I'll look back on and think, you know, I did that. And if I can do that in that bad a shape, imagine what I can do when I get myself better and I can get into a good headspace and a good physical state.
Totally. That's the thing. That is like absolute mental strength right there. If you can A, start, and B, I remember talking to someone once who was talking about that sort of like burnout and things like that. And she was saying that, you know, you have to have the space in your mind to be able to go to those dark places in those races. And if you're struggling in the run-up to it, then, like, it's so much harder.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's, you know, they say when you race, you go to the bottom of the well, you know, when you start to, your body starts shutting down as you take those final strides toward the finish line. And you see that in Ironman, you see that in ultra running. But I think that when you're already checked out before, you know, 2 kilometers in of 160 kilometers, you know, you just kind of lose this, the ability to kind of break it down and make it to small goals. And you think, what's the point? Why am I doing this? Who cares? Like, what's the difference between 50th and 300th? Like, I could just, you know, really just have a sleep here and I could still make it in. But, you know, there is, this means too much to me, and I have too much pride in myself in always kind of like putting my best foot forward. And sometimes that best foot is, you know, probably not the smartest thing or long-term sustainable thing. But yeah, you know, and you come out of it and like, yes, I finished and I was heartbroken and I was really upset. And then I was thrown social media commentary on it, which just digs you into this deeper hole. You know, if you go to the well in the race, man, I was like hitting China as I was digging through. And so I think that the comeback from that, you know, I'm very happy that, you know, we were put into lockdown and I had 2 years to kind of just like gather myself and think, right, you know, what went wrong? Why did it go wrong? What can I do differently? And, you know, also grow that ability to kind of look at stuff on social media and be like, those words don't define me. And I'm, you know, do what makes you happy. And, you know, who cares what anyone else thinks?
And I guess that would have taken that caring about what others think. That takes time, doesn't it? It doesn't happen overnight, does it?
Oh, for sure not. And it's definitely not linear either. You know, it's kind of some days I'm like, yeah, screw you all. Like, I'm me. This is great. And then some days I'm like, why did you say that I look sunburnt? You know, you know, it's just kind of like, it depends where you are in your menstrual cycle. It depends what, you know, if you're hungry, it depends if you've exercised. Like, just too many variables. And, you know, I think that I'm really, you know, I wear my heart on my sleeve and I'll always be completely honest, but I'll also call people out. You know, I think a big thing for me is that I have a following and I have a great audience of especially young females, and I would hate for them to see a comment or for someone else to see a comment and think, oh, that's okay. Like, she's left that there, hasn't replied to it, you know, like, and choose for them to say that about someone else. But for me, it's really important. And the only thing I want to leave on this sport is that it's not okay. It's not okay to comment on someone else, to have expectations, to write someone else's story, to have assumptions made about them. And yeah, like, it takes having all those things done to you to then realize, like, I would never, never want that to happen to anyone else. And it also stopped me in my tracks of maybe judging other people, you know, that I used to be like, oh, like, why didn't she win? She always wins, you know, why is she suddenly injured? Why is she, you know, all these things, like, and making all these stories up. And I mean, lockdown's a great time to make stories, because I'm sitting here on social media being like, everyone's having the best life ever. Like, look at this Instagram. Everyone's in the sun and it's great and they're exercising and they're happy. And then you talk to someone and you actually have a conversation and you realize that, like, that 1 second shot of the day that they posted does not reflect the other 23 hours and 59 minutes that person has experienced.
So true. It's so true. So if you do go from winning all the time, and you probably almost get to this point of, even within yourself, like, well, you expect to be like right up there. How then do you deal with that when that changes?
Yeah, I mean, within the sport of running, it's definitely a challenge, because, you know, like I said at the start, this running for me is, there's an expectation, there's a, you know, I have an image in the sport, and that has been at the front end. But, you know, at the same time, like, I think something like Ironman completely changes things for me. Like I said, I'll come dead last and be so happy that I got through it, given the circumstances especially. I'll probably finish and think, right, I'm going to train and I'm going to try again and see my, you know, make my improvement real big. But I think that, you know, I think it's just one of those things where you've got to accept, like, I gave the best I had on the day I had and the day I was given. And if that means your stomach goes, or it means you have bike issues, or it means that you just have to walk every hill, or it means you roll your ankle, you know, those things you can't control. You can do things that help those things not happen. But I think that it's really important that you take a moment to reflect on the fact that, like, you know, I look back at the last few weeks that I've been training in quotation marks for this Ironman, and I'm like, you know, I'm not training for an Ironman at the moment. I'm like cycling here and there just to like make a fool of myself. And I'm going jogging because I love it and it's convenient and fast. And, you know, I think that I'm really proud of that. It's not ideal. It's not what my coach set out for me. It's not what Ironman, you know, when we planned this whole series we were going to do on my trail to triathlon journey. But there's something beautiful in that because we've just pivoted and, you know, I just try my best and I'm okay with where that lands me. And I think that when I can race in a running race the next time, I'm going to take that philosophy forward again, because this is part of my story. Like, I have been in lockdown. I've had an hour or 2 hours of exercise a day, a 5K or a 10K radius. I'm living in pretty rolling hills, you could consider it, a little bit of dirt every now and then underfoot. You know, I'm not primed. No, I'm not living the athlete's elite life where you travel around to altitude camps, and that's okay. Like, you know, but I am working on being, you know, mentally stronger and emotionally stronger and believing that, you know, the best is yet to come.
Oh, yes. Lucy, I love this.
Thank you.
I love it. Now, I want you to talk through, just because I really loved it. I read it and I was like, oh, everyone needs to hear this, right? When you fairly recently set one of your athletes a 45-minute easy run session, what did you actually write specifically? Well, you might not be able to remember it word for word, but along those lines.
Yeah, so this athlete, you know, she's kind of, I've only been a coach now, coaching with Femi, who I coach with, which is females coaching females, which is kind of unique in Australia and I think globally. But we kind of, I've had this athlete and definitely like ebb and flowing with motivation, which I was like, I resonate with that so much. And she said something about that she was feeling really overweight and that's why she was running poorly and like, you know, that this was like the crux of why she was out of motivation. And I wrote a piece to her. You know, I love writing and I love being other people's biggest fans. I probably should read it and take my own advice a lot of the time. But I said something along the lines of, you know, like, I don't care what you look like when you run. I don't care how much you weigh. I don't care how fast you go. I don't care how far you go. What I care about is you giving yourself this opportunity to get out the door and to win, you know, in quotations, to put yourself in the best possible situation so that you can wake up tomorrow and be proud of yourself for yesterday and be ready for tomorrow, the next day. And, you know, it was just kind of, I just wanted her to realize that, you know, when she uploads her run and it comes through to me, I'm not looking at her splits. I'm not looking at her consistency and her, you know, what incline she was on when she was running at this pace or she switched to a walk, or I couldn't give a flying ass about what happened on the so I'm trying not to swear, it's hard. You know, and I think that that's what a lot of people need to hear. I think so many people are wrapped up in this, everyone's looking at me when I run, that person in that car that drove past, they're judging me. You know, most people in that car are probably thinking, man, you know, I should go for a run, or man, I wish I was doing that. They're not going, oh wow, I think her thighs are hitting together. You know, no, if they're thinking that, I mean, that's issues. But I kind of just like, I wanted her to go back to, you know, what running is. Running is like this release of moving your body, of being with, taking that time, you know, that can feel like a very long time, but, you know, an hour, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, like she had scheduled, and just being like, this is me time. This is time for me to help myself. And it's not about, you know, proving to anyone else that you're a runner, or going at a pace that makes you think a runner, or a distance that's worthy of running. And I think that, especially in the ultra world, you know, there's really kind of like, there can be a vibe of, you know, I don't get out of bed for less than 30 kilometers, or if it's not more than 30 minutes or an hour, it's not really a run. And if you're not going faster than 6 minute kilometer pace, then like, why bother? And I just kind of think that that's really affecting people that are coming into the sport who aren't trying to win these things. They're just wanting to experience the nature and the community and explore their body's abilities. And I think that when we start losing that, we lose that motivation. And that's kind of what I was kind of getting the feeling that that's where she was heading. And I mean, she's come back so strong now, and she's just like, this is incredible. Like, I don't even look at myself in the mirror before I leave. I just go out and I just do what I want to do, how I want to do it. And if that means throwing your arms around like an airplane on the downhill, like, I'm all for that.
Is that one of your qualities, airplane running downhill?
Do you know, I did a camp on Kangaroo Island in South Australia, and we did a downhill drill, and I was like, I went down first, and we got to the bottom, and everyone was like, dude, like, your arms, they just go everywhere. And I was like, yeah, it's like, I've got like a dislocated shoulder, so I think I can throw my arms about just in every direction. But, you know, it was just kind of like, yeah, you know, I want to have fun. Like, I'm like running down a hill, I'm running fast, my body is taking this impact, my feet are carrying my weight, and I'm going from point A to point B. Like, why wouldn't you celebrate that?
Oh, Lucy, I think that was like the most, and I don't care, it sounds a little bit woo out there hippie, that was like 5 minutes of absolute beautiful, like, get that in your mind. So many people will have loved listening to that bit, because it's the truth.
It is. And I think it's every sport, you know. I think that everyone says, you know, cyclists are really, you know, strict, or, you know, Ironman people are really anal about numbers, or, and there's elements of that in every sport. And I think that it's really important that we realize not everyone wants to be that person. Not everyone is trying to be the first one to cross the tape. Most people are going there to just put themselves out there. And that's an intimidating thing to do. And it's more intimidating when you start having these expectations of how much lycra you need to wear, and how thin you need to be, and how much hair you need to take off your body to save weight and aero. Like, it's just kind of, when you start looking at it like that, you're like, this isn't a fun sport at all.
are there any bits of, you know, the triathlon world that you just like, oh, what, take me back to ultra running?
No, well, you know, I haven't really seen much of the world. You know, I haven't. What I was most excited about when I said that I wanted to do this was community. Like, a big thing for me is people in sport. And like I said, the conversations you have, that feeling when you both get across the finish line, you've helped each other. Like, that's what I live for. And I was excited for, yes, running with people, but the group rides, like seeing these pelotons of cyclists that just stop at every coffee shop. I was like, I'm in for this. You know, I do running ultras because I get to just like buffet to buffet to buffet for hours. And I was like, all right, I can get around cycling if we stop every hour or two and get a muffin and a tea or a coffee and move on. And I haven't had that. You know, all the cafes have been closed. You're not allowed to ride with people. And so I'm kind of doing this on my own. And I was like, this wasn't really what I signed up for. I was here for coffee and muffins. And, you know, so it's definitely something that I want to find the things I don't like about Ironman, because there's things that I don't, or triathlon, there's things I don't like about ultra runners as well. But I think that, yeah, I'm excited to spend time with people and be like, ah, this is what I don't like. Oh, okay. And then these are the things I love. And yeah, and then take them away and probably, you know, do all those same things. And I was like, oh, I hate that. I hate the way they do that. And I'll start doing it myself.
Oh, you're going to love the ride. When you actually do get to do stuff with other people, you're going to be in your element, Lucy. It would be great to come on a group ride with you.
Oh, I'm so on for it. Absolutely.
Oh, brilliant. And then, Lucy, we haven't actually touched on food. We might have time for that, but I wanted to know, have you reached out to any like any of the pro triathletes or any of your friends? Are you friends with any of the pro triathletes? Have they been guiding you, advising you in any way?
So I have a good friend in Australia, in Melbourne, that's she's kind of dabbled in off-road triathlon and then normal triathlon, and she coaches a triathlon group. So she lives down on the Surf Coast, on the coastline of Melbourne, and she's been really helpful just to kind of like get an idea of what I should be doing, what this sport involves. I have a coach who's in America, and he's coached other Ironman athletes. He's definitely a trail running coach, but he knows his way around it. So that's been really helpful. But really, I've just like suddenly influxed my feed with triathletes. Like Lucy Charles Barkley is like my idol. She's someone that I've just absolutely loved following her YouTube, and had so much fun kind of, yeah, talking, you know, brief messages here and there of just kind of like, how do you do this? Like, what is this? Why are we doing this? You know? And just kind of, you know, my feed is generally full of people just running, and now it's full of swimming and cycling and weights and all these things. And it's just so refreshing. You know, I'm listening to podcasts on my runs and on my cycles, and just kind of, you know, whilst I can't be riding alongside someone having a chat about it, I just immersing myself, and like I would when I started the sport, you know, I just want to educate and listen, and, you know, I don't know what I'm doing, so let's listen to someone who does know. But yeah, I can't wait to sit down and have a conversation with someone eye to eye and be like, help me.
I'm sure there would be a lot of people lining up, because equally, I'm pretty sure you'd be able to, you know, help them on the ultra running side of things. Talking of which, if someone is thinking maybe of doing an ultra, would you have any tips for them? Say someone going from triathlon and thinking, oh, I wouldn't mind doing a, you know, getting onto the trail running a little bit more.
Yeah, I'd probably just say your life just became a whole lot more simple. You know, all you need is like a backpack, some runners and some snacks, and you're sweet. I think that, you know, there's no doubt that you have an amazing endurance base if you're running, cycling and swimming, whether that be in short course or long course. You know, really it's about getting that body used to just one discipline that is impact. You know, cycling and swimming are low impact and the body uses different muscles. Running is just repetitive. It's pounding. Whether you're on the trails or not, you're definitely, like I said, your feet are carrying your body weight from point A to point B. So it's kind of just getting used to that and just consistency, like in everything. It's just waking up every day and putting your shoes on and getting out. If you can, doing it with people is just 100% more enjoyable. It's a lot safer on the trails and stuff, but it's also just way more fun, like to have those conversations, to have that post-run feed, to get deep and meaningful out on the trails in nature and, you know, celebrate the highs, suffer through the lows and come out the other side. Like it's so such a beautiful thing to do. And the ultra running community is, you know, they are top-notch people that, you know, will run around in the most colorful, outrageous outfits and call themselves athletes as they walk with a can of Coke and a slice of cake. And just kind of be open-minded, embrace it for all it is, and just try your best all the time.
And if you are sort of going, you know, above 30 miles, what would your longest training run be in the build-up to that? And do you have to be running, say, like a massive long run every weekend?
No, definitely not. I think the way I coach and the way I've always been coached, well, recently have been coached actually, is that it's more about how long that 30 miles is going to take you. So in the hours. So if you think that that might take you 5, 6, 7 hours, your long run, you know, you probably want to be going over that 3 hour mark just to mentally know, okay, I've done 3, another 2 is not outrageous. But no, you don't need to be doing that long run every week repetitively. I find that the best bet is to go back to back. And so to do like a 2 hour run followed by the next day, maybe like another 90 minutes or something, and just kind of not taking yourself to a breaking point. Because once you go over that, you know, 3 hour mark, the risk of injury, the decrease in enjoyment, it definitely is there. And so it's really important that you line up on that start line you know, 10% undercooked, then 1% overcooked, and just be like full of stoke, be uninjured, super healthy, really happy, and just kind of go into it with this, like, I'm going to eat, I'm going to drink, I'm going to walk when I need to, and I'm just going to move forward. Because if it's your first 30 miles, I mean, it's a PB no matter what. That's how I'm doing Ironman. Whatever I do is my Ironman PB, so it's all good.
And I did say we would have a quick mention about food. You have a cookbook, Sustain Your Ability, out. What is your nutrition plan on the bike, Lucy?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. I think my dad's probably looking up at me right now going, yeah, Lucy, what's your plan with that? you know, I've used gels in running and it's been no problem. I'm going to say that I haven't fueled on the bike yet. None of the rides I've been able to do have been long enough. So to be confirmed on that answer, I will say that I was going with coffee and muffins, and I seem to think that that's not what we're doing on race day. I've been misled.
Who's been telling you lies?
What are these people on training? I thought we were practicing what we do on training days.
And your favorite, let's go with your... What would you be going straight for at that finish line? What is your, like, go-to, get it in me right now food?
Oh, well, I think it would depend on the weather, for sure. You know, I'm normally someone that maybe after, like, a long effort this is going to be, I'm probably more inclined to go, like, savory and salty. So, like, I'm Mexican lover, so anything like nachos, burrito, quesadillas, I'm good for. I mean, I could do pizza. I follow a plant-based diet, so if I could have plant-based alternatives, that would be wonderful. Yeah, and then, you know, follow that up with some, you know, a smoothie, a vegan ice cream, and then follow that up with like a midnight snack and then move into the breakfast the next morning. I mean, I just want this constant flow, you know, where if I want something, it's there. Yeah.
I like that. And if people want to check out your recipe book, Lucy, where should they head?
Yeah, so you can head to my website. At the moment, it's only available in ebook. It was in hard copy, but they've all sold out, which is amazing.
That's great.
And yeah, that's probably the best place. That's where you can get it.
Perfect. Lucy, I hope that you are able to do Ironman like Busselton, Western Australia. If 2021 is not to be due to COVID, you'll clearly be doing it in 2022, right?
Yeah, definitely. I was looking at kind of, you know, what other ones would set my heart on fire. Like if I had more opportunity to fit it in, I was like, oh, Taupo in New Zealand really was one of the ones that I was like, oh, that could be cool. But I, you know, I definitely want to tick it off the bucket list. So I'll do it anywhere as long as it's warm.
Okay, so UK, Bolton and Wales are not on the cards quite yet. Lucy, best of luck, and thank you so much for taking the time to chat.
Thank you so much, and I can't wait to dive in with some tips from you for this experience. I'm going to need it.
Thanks for listening to the Inside Tri Show. If you want to get in touch or get a little bit more information on anything, then reach out to Helen on Instagram or Twitter at Inside Tri Show.
As always, do please share the interview, tag Lucy, tag at Inside Tri Show if you have enjoyed it. Share it with someone else, send it over to them as well. It makes a huge, huge difference to who actually gets to hear this podcast, and it makes a massive difference to me as well. So yeah, please do that. And if you have got any experience of multi-day stage races, I would love to hear from you. Drop me an email, helen@insidetrishow.com, and you can just reassure me that it will actually all be okay when we head to the Scottish wilderness for 3 days. Now, if you want to come and mingle with last week's guest, Sophie Gasson, and myself, and some of the other wonderful people involved in Move Charity while raising some money for an amazing cause, then come and join us at the Move Charity Ball. It's in Leicester. It's on November the 12th. And more importantly, it's actually an evening with Steve Crown. There's going to be a 3-course dinner. There's music. It's going to be a really, really fun night. And there are still tickets available. So I've put a link in the show notes. Next week, I'm hoping that we'll be having a quick catch-up with Laura Siddle, as she and I have a bit of a plan for a future episode. You see, it's all go at Inside Tri Show HQ, which basically means my head. And yeah, it's been just a mad few weeks. I've spent the last couple of weekends working for Cancer Research UK, actually, as an event assistant at their Race for Life and Pretty Muddy event. So it's proper physical kind of work, long days on site in the glorious British autumnal weather, clearly. Yeah, setting up race courses, things like that, just absolutely on the go. But it's been really good to, A, see a totally different audience at running events. I think I'm so used to seeing runners and triathletes that it's really refreshing actually to see people challenging themselves, you know, doing a 3K, which is a massive, massive achievement. I absolutely love it. It kind of warms the heart, doesn't it? And it's also been brilliant to be working outside with other people after being stuck inside working on my own a lot over the last year or so. But I must admit, I am looking forward to a bit more of a chilled weekend this weekend. Well, let's say my version of chilled, at least, which very much involves some sort of run or bike, clearly, doesn't it? Followed by Strictly Come Dancing on a Saturday night. Anyway, thank you again to resilientnutrition.com for sponsoring this podcast. We will be hearing more from Ali next week as well, and the ultra marathon event that we're going to do. Remember, you can get 10% off with the code INSIDETRY10. You can head to insidetryshow.com/links and you will find the discount there. A big thank you as well to 33fuel.com. They're all about using natural ingredients for their sports nutrition, from chia seed gels to daily greens, yummy energy and protein bars as well, and protein powder. And you can get a discount with the code INSIDETRY33. You will also get money off at comfuel.co.uk. They do a whole load of different sports nutrition through your letterbox. Just use the code INSIDETRY. And again, if you want to be kept up to date with everything from Inside Tri Show HQ, i.e. my head, just sign up to my newsletter. I send it out every other week, so it's fortnightly. InsideTriShow.com/links, and you will find the sign up form there. So look after yourself, keep up with the good training, stay happy, and we'll speak again soon.
Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.